Case number 12729, H and K Group Incorporated seeks a special use exception to operate a potentially hazardous use, construction and demolition debris recycling facility by use of portable crusher. Sections 115-110 and 115-111 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northwest side of Thoroughgoods Road, approximately 0.5 miles from Route 20. The 911 address is 30548 Thoroughgoods Road in Dagsboro. The zoning district is HI1. The tax parcel is District 233, Map 5, Parcel 71.02. Staff will note we've received some agency comments from the Office of State Fire Marshal, the Delaware Health and Social Services, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife of the Chesapeake Bay Field Office, letters of no objection to the application. We have one letter of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Thank you. Is the applicant present? Good evening. Mr. Sharp, we'll swear you in.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Scott Drumbor, H&K Group, 2052 Lucon Road, Skipback, Pennsylvania, 19474.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And before we get started with testimony, I just want to let the board know, this one is a little bit different. We don't get these kind of cases very often. It is a case that involves the special use exception standard, but this is a heavy industrial, it's an HI1 zone property, but there are some enumerated uses there that are potential, what we call potentially hazardous uses. And if they are, and this dates back to when the zoning ordinance was created in 1970, so it goes back a long ways. But if it falls within one of those categories or is something that the director believes could fall within something similar to that, it is directed to fall where the board not only has to show that this was a, that it meets the special use exception standard, but also that there's been consultation with, or there's been evidence that there are state agencies or that can protect the environment, the waterways, things of that sort. It is a little different standard. You may have noted that Ms. Norwood referenced that there were some agency comments that had been received, both with this application and the next one. The same kind of standard applies. What that means is that when this case was scheduled for a hearing and we had the night scheduled, staff sent out a memo to state agencies, which I believe included DENREC and the Office of the Fire Marshal and some others, asking them for feedback, comments, and also notifying them of this hearing in case any of those agencies wish to have someone here speak about this application. There has been cases in the past. We had one years ago that was litigated. The board is not required to actually receive those comments, but is required to at least solicit them and to try to see what we get back. And we did receive some comments on this one, I believe some on the next one as well. So I just wanted to give the board a little background. This one is a little different for that reason. We don't get this very often. I'm not sure that we've had one with this board, the constituency of this board, but it is one that we actually have two of this evening. So I wanted to give the board a little background on that standard, just a little different than we normally see.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Go ahead and present your case.
Okay. As stated in the beginning, this application, case 12729, is on behalf of H&K Group, Inc., by name change, formerly Haynes & Kibblehaus, Inc. In 2014-2015, the Haynes & Kibblehaus, Inc. changed its name to H&K Group, Inc. So if you look at property records, you see Haynes & Kibblehaus, Inc. The applicant is H&K Group, Inc. If there's any confusion, I just wanted to clear that up. Property is located at 30548 Thoroughgoods Road, Dagsboro, Delaware. The property is known as Dagsboro Stone Yard. It's a tax on tax parcel 233-5.00-71.02, and it is in the heavy industrial zoning district. The current use of the property is an aggregates material processing facility where aggregates are railed in by rail, unloaded via an unloading pit, through use of a series of conveyors where the aggregate stockpiled and introduced into the local and regional market for obvious construction uses. Adjacent to the property to the southeast is a hot mix asphalt facility, which is operated by a partnership between H&K Group Inc. and George and Lynch. So there is some commonality between the two sites. Stone that's brought in via rail to the Dagsboro Stone Yard is utilized not only in the local and regional market, but also at the adjacent hot mix asphalt facility. The Stone Yard was approved via special use exception in 2004. It was board case 8573. And there is a history of approval for portable crushers. It dates back to 1996, case 6167, which approved temporary portable crushers, temporary. The application is for the operation of a portable crusher, which is listed as a potentially hazardous use to crush and screen concrete, asphalt chunks, and millings. So the applicant looks to bring this material in. It's somewhat tied, like I explained earlier, to the asphalt plant. Customers come in to get a load of asphalt, and a lot of times on the jobs that they're on, they might be breaking up curb or sidewalk and it has some concrete. They look for a place to bring that back. It works to bring it back to the Dagsboro Stone Yard. It gets stockpiled, and then they go out with a load of asphalt from the adjacent hot mix asphalt facility. That material is processed via portable crusher to create an aggregate, recycling the concrete, and it creates an aggregate or a subbase for reuse, again, in the local and regional market and construction. The asphalt chunks and asphalt millings, as you can imagine, are utilized at the adjacent hot mix asphalt facility as well. That material is recycled and the manufacturing of hot mix asphalt. Upwards of 25 to 30% of new hot mix asphalt is recycled millings or chunk asphalt. So again, the portable crusher is needed to process that asphalt so it can be incorporated into the adjacent facility for incorporation and manufacturing of new asphalt. Excuse me. There's approximately 60,000 tons per year of asphalt utilized at the facility, and approximately 50,000 tons per year of concrete at this specific facility. It's brought in, processed, would be processed, and then utilized as a recycled aggregate product. The application that you have in front of you and what was submitted does go through the standards for special use exception, and I'll briefly go through those. This use is very similar, as you can imagine, to the existing uses on the property. The existing uses, as I stated, is a rail unloading facility where an unloading pit and a series of conveyors are utilized to offload the aggregate material from the rail cars and stockpile on the site. There's loaders and equipment very similar to what's utilized with the portable crushers to operate the portable crushers on site. So the existing use and what's proposed are very similar and compatible. We anticipate the portable crusher will operate approximately 10 working days per month in order to crush and screen the concrete, chunk asphalt, and the asphalt millings that would be managed on site. If you look at the tonnages that I listed and what this portable crusher would be permitted through DENREC air quality, which would be a maximum of 300 tons per hour, the portable crusher and our permitting thresholds with DENREC air quality would far exceed what we would actually look to process on site. So that's where we get the 10 working days on average. In the peak season, it might exceed a little bit, and then there might be months where it's far less, obviously the winter months. Noise is one of the standards for this specific use. In the application, they state that at a distance of about 100 foot, the average operating noise levels are 60 to 70 decibels, with occasional peaks reaching 80, and that's more tied to the mobile equipment that is utilized in conjunction with the portable crushers. That information is gathered, not specifically on site with this specific equipment, but with other operations that we've had similar equipment on site where we have performed monitoring. So that's where that background comes from. Every site's different, and as you can imagine, every noise levels will be different based upon the site and how everything's oriented. We state the minimum of 100 foot based upon what was measured at other locations. As you can see on the site plan, we look to centrally locate the portable crusher, which is far more than 100 foot from the property lines. Vibrations, the portable crusher will not generate any vibrations or heat or smoke. I will note that this portable crusher would be permitted through Denrec Air Quality and obtain a permit through them.
I got a question for you. You said there's no vibrations. Can you elaborate on how this is broken up? Because, I mean, I'm envisioning something kind of like a portable jackhammer, but a larger thing, and I would imagine that's going to have some vibrations.
Yeah, I should go back to that and restate. No detectable vibrations. Obviously at the property lines, but even in the near vicinity. There is a crusher on the equipment, and then there's also a screen. So there is moving parts, but there's no vibration. So if you stand on the ground near it, you'll hear the equipment. You won't feel the ground vibrating with the normal operation of this type of equipment. Does that answer?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, you see somebody breaking up with a jackhammer, you kind of feel it on the ground or something. That's not the case here.
Not the case. What happens is we come in, whether it's the asphalt or the concrete, most of the pieces are going to be smaller anyway, coming in. It's like you're not going to have large pieces. It's fed into a hopper, which is the crusher, which starts to break that material down and feed a screen, which separates the materials that were crushed into differing sizes, depending upon what the ultimate use is for a sub-base material. I was just starting on smoke. There is no smoke from this operation. Obviously, there's engines associated with the equipment, and all of that and the emissions are permitted and controlled through the Denrec Air Quality Permitting. No glares. There's nothing that would produce glares from the equipment or the operation. And then under other objectionable influences, obviously dust is probably one of the most notable things with this type of operation. But again, the dust is going to be controlled through the permitting with Denrec Air Quality. We utilize a 1,500 gallon tank, which distributes water throughout the equipment and at spray bars, wherever there's material transfer, there's spray bars and nozzles to bring down that dust before it would actually emit. And then the only other thing we do have in our application, we respectfully request a 5-year duration should you look to grant this approval. We feel that would be appropriate if this is something that would be granted. I have Scott Taylor from the H&K Group, who is our air quality specialist, who works with Denrec on a regular basis and specifically with this operation, as well as Chris Baker, the president of George & Lynch, who is one of our partner. He's drafted and submitted a letter which was referenced. It was dated August 4th. I guess you would say in support of the application, and I think it would be appropriate at this time to have him come up and speak to the importance of the materials that are processed through these portable this portable crusher in the local regional market in the construction industry from a recycling standpoint as well as from a supply standpoint, especially in the current conditions of the market. So if I could, I could invite him up.
He can come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Chris Baker. I'm on Clay Farm Drive in Rosa Beach.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
So I didn't plan to give a presentation. I think Scott's done a very good job doing that for us already. But maybe just to speak to the importance to the marketplace in Sussex County. Obviously, there are other competing operations in Sussex County, but at this present time particularly, with the demand not only of the housing market but other commercial markets as well, and even reconstruction or repaving of subdivisions that have been in place for a number of years, I would say the continuance of the operation of the both the wrap crushing and also the concrete crushing is very important. This year, certainly no design of our own, the railroad service of Sussex County, which brings down probably 90% or more of the aggregates to the peninsula, has been subpar at best. It's only recently started to return to what we would consider normal production for railroad. That has a lot more to do with things that are happening outside of Delaware with maintenance on Amtrak lines and the labor shortage that that we're all feeling in industries. So, as has been stated, we are a partner in the river asphalt operation, which, along with Hainsey Kibble House, but also we're the primary customer of river asphalt. And we serve not only ourselves for paving operations, but also pay for several other contractors that are out there that do not self-perform their paving. And I ask for your consideration in approving this request.
Mr. Baker, I just want to clarify, you had referenced river asphalt. Is that the is that a facility adjacent to this one?
It is. So if you see the yellow, not quite a rectangle, just below that and to the right is the river asphalt operation. Yes. We actually share an entrance with Atlantic Concrete.
So while we're talking about what's in that neighborhood there, can you just, if we scale that back, could you just go up and kind of show us so we could see exactly what's in that neighborhood there?
You mean as far as my other approach?
Yeah.
Okay. You mean within the yellow rectangle or?
Well, what's in the area? The yellow area is the site. So
yes.
It's sometimes helpful if you're telling me that, I guess, River Asphalt is that property, I guess, to the southeast.
Well, let me start out here at Thoroughgoods Road. So this was an entrance that has existed for decades, I presume, primarily to service Atlantic Concrete, which is right here. They're a ready-mix concrete producer. And at some time early in the 2000s, the H&K Group purchased the land here for their stone depot, and they received stone by the railroad. He's already explained how they unloaded that, and then really I don't think they'd been in operation very long. I'm not even sure if you were even open yet, that we created the partnership to build this hot mix plant. So of course that's a large, I don't know that we're the largest customer, but a large customer of the Stone Depot. They also sell aggregates to, I'm sure, countless other contractors and private residents.
What else is all around there? I see, it looks to me like there's some woods, perhaps some residences. I see something where Pinnacle Way.
This is actually the old Vlasic operation, now Allen Rim. We were just talking about this earlier. I'm trying to remember who owns this property, but it's a vacant parcel. Cordry, I believe, is the owner. I actually don't know. I haven't looked to see who owns the property on the other side of the railroad track along Third Victoria.
Okay. From a zoning perspective, southeast of the Dykesboro parcel, Dykesboro Stone Depot, it's heavy industrial zoning. East and northeast is also heavy industrial. North and Northwest is the Neighborhood Business District. Southwest is the AR1 or Agricultural Residential District. And the Warden's Branch is to the northwest of the property, and it separates the Neighborhood Business District between our use and that Neighborhood Business District by about 600 or 800 foot. And the Warden's Branch, as you can see to the northwest, there's a wooded area that the Warden Branch runs through, and that's that 600 to 800 foot roughly.
I presume that wooded area will be maintained and not disturbed?
Yes. The majority of it is actually off our parcel, but yes.
Yeah, we have no intention of expanding beyond the footprint we're currently operating in.
This proposal, this application, really is not looking to change anything on the property. None of the existing stormwater facilities, infrastructure, really this equipment comes in, it's portable. Brought in, it's set up centrally in the property, and then obviously operated like I described earlier. Doesn't require any new infrastructure or any changes to the site, which is one reason why the application is kind of covers really the specific use of the equipment and not so much what you're normally used to seeing, which is more site improvement, site related setbacks, that type of stuff.
So if you were going to run this 10 days a month, presuming they would be all weekdays, what would your hours be?
I would say that's typically an 8-hour shift within the hours of operation of the existing facility. And so daytime. Yeah.
They are, what are the hours of the?
What are the specific hours of Dyesboro?
Sir, if we're going to have any of them test speak, they're going to need to be sworn in.
Right. So I'll answer the question. Typically 6 to 6.
Okay.
Within that period of time would be the 8 hours of the actual equipment. A lot of those hours are driven by state contracts, as we all on the adjacent asphalt facility. Supplying material is obviously, as you're well aware, nighttime. Paving jobs, obviously, to supply them has to come from a facility like the adjacent property. But daily operations would be 8 hours, typically, within the daytime hours.
Thank you.
There will be no nighttime operations or evening operations.
The development you're talking about to the northwest is, I believe it's Millwood. Have you had any complaints from them up to this point as far as your business running up to this point?
You want me to speak? I am not aware of any. I'm not aware of any. Anytime, and I visit the site, I'm not there every day, but I'm there at least once a month at this point in my career. Earlier in my career, I was there 2 or 3 days a week. I've never even taken notice of the development through the woods.
Okay. You had a approximate area where that's going to be centered. How far is that from Millwood as far as that goes? Would you be able to point that out so I can get an idea?
To be fair, it ranges, but typically, where you see that number 7102?
Yes.
That is a concrete pile, and the crusher typically operates in this vicinity. This is actually the wrap or millings. So somewhere between in that area is where it typically operates.
If I can.
That's probably the development that's going to be, if there were to be any effect, that would be the development that's going to have the most effect in my mind. As far as sound goes or any kind of issues.
That's correct. Specifically answer, if you refer to the aerial plan that's in the application and the general location that Mr. Baker outlined where the crusher would go, it's about 812 foot to our rear property line. And then obviously you have the wooded area that I referenced in addition, distance-wise. To our property line to the north, approximately 306 foot
to the southwest, approximately 360 to 380 foot to the property line, and to the common property line with the asphalt plant, approximately 500 foot. And that's to the box that we outlined on that plan, generally where the asphalt plant, the portable equipment would be located. And we try to locate the equipment centrally and then utilize the stockpiles that would be surrounding it, because obviously that helps with sound and noise and a number of different things, screens that specific operation. I don't know if that helps answer.
No, thank you. It clarifies some things for me. Appreciate that.
I have a couple of questions. I was looking at the cut sheets for the equipment. It looks like one piece of equipment, the first one is the crusher and the second one is the screen. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's what I'm looking at. So you need a special use exception for the crusher?
We're asking for a special use exception for the equipment, the portable equipment. So it would have to be the crusher and the screen.
Okay.
The ordinance obviously is written not specific to this type of equipment, so I think it would be appropriate to include, covered.
They work together, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you need, if you have one, you need the other. So
yeah, you can't size material that you crush that would be utilized for aggregates.
Okay.
They go hand in hand.
Do you currently have a crusher on the property?
There is. There's always been a history of use of portable crushers on this facility. There is now. There's been meetings with specific to this equipment of DENREC and the county. I was not part of those meetings. Scott Taylor, who is here, our air quality specialist, could elaborate on that. What brings us here is DENREC requesting zoning approval for any use related to a permit that they issue. They've issued many permits in the past and didn't request it. They did now, obviously, which is why we're here to address that.
Okay, so the crusher that's there now, do you have a special use exception for that one?
Not specifically, and there has never been a history of that. So we're essentially here in response to DENREC looking to permit this new portable equipment and to close that gap.
Okay. So you've not had any complaints with your previous crushers?
I'm not aware, but I think the operational people should weigh in on that as well.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, maybe we could get whoever you want to get sworn in so that I can hear. I just want to be thorough and make sure that there haven't been any complaints.
Okay.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Scott Taylor, 2052 Lucon Road, Skipack, Pennsylvania.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you just state your role with the company, which company you work for?
Like Scott, Mr. Drumbor said, title as air quality specialist. What I do for the H&K Group in its entirety that has facilities in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware is the air quality permitting through the applicable regulatory agency. Down here at DENREC, Pennsylvania, it's PADEP, New Jersey, it's New Jersey DEP, and the city of Philadelphia, it's Air Management Services. So I obtain and manage the applicable permits for portable crushers, crushing plants, ready-mix concrete plants, hot-mix asphalt plants, or anything else that's applicable to air quality permitting.
I believe one of the questions Mr. Werfel had was about we had previously had a special use exception on this property for a portable crusher. I think he was, one of the questions that he had and I also had was, had there been any complaints or any violations as pertaining to this property with prior uses?
No. The only thing I will say, as far as a complaint, don't have the details with me. It was approximately a year and a half ago. DENREC contacted me via telephone that they had an anonymous complaint of an odor. Were we doing anything different at the plant? I followed up with the plant. We were doing no different. I replied back to DENREC with that through a phone call and never heard anything else since.
So, Mr. Chow, that was a complaint of an odor?
An odor.
Yes, but previous testimony, this equipment doesn't produce odors. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct.
So that complaint presumably would have come from something else on your plant?
Or not
or not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Sharp, you have any further questions?
Mr. Taylor, you might be helpful in this. And I'm just going to recite something that the board, this is part of the board standard, is that the board shall review the plans and statements and shall not permit building structures or uses until it has been shown that the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare will be properly protected and necessary safeguards will be provided for protection of water areas and surrounding property and persons. With that in mind, and the board is also to pay particular attention to the protection of the county and its waterways from the harmful effects of air and water pollution of any type. And I know you're referencing the air permitting controls. What other permits are in effect for would be needed for this use? What kind of oversight are other agencies providing? Because the board has to be convinced that there's some oversight, particularly when it comes to air and water pollution.
Specific to the air pollution, the only person with the oversight or only authority would be DENREC, Bureau of Air Quality, to my knowledge.
Is that a separate permit from one that you already have, or is it one that is kind of an add-on to an existing permit?
No, it is separate, and it is specific to the equipment that we're referring to tonight.
So is there a hearing process on that? How does that work?
There is a public advertisement that DENREC does before they issue me my permit, but there's no hearing.
Okay. What about when it pertains to waterways? I noticed there's the Wharton's Branch nearby. Are there any permitting requirements that we have to be mindful of or regulations that are enforced by a separate agency other than this board for protection of those waterways?
To my knowledge, no.
So, in 2004, when we developed the site for the Stone Yard, obviously we went through all the approvals, received land approval. There is a stormwater basin and a structure in the to the northwest end of the property. It's really difficult to see. It's been vegetated now. You have volunteer growth. That's a large stormwater basin in the back. There's collection channels that run along the southwest end of the property and direct stormwater flows into that basin. And on the to the north northwest property boundary, which is essentially where the rail spurs are, there's a series of inlets and storm sewer piping that collects flow and directs it to the basin. So all of the original site infrastructure that was part of the initial site development for the Stone Yard is still in place and maintained through those original land approvals.
Are they inspected periodically by another state agency that you're aware of?
They can be, but we honestly have not had any inspections from those agencies.
But you're subject to whatever their regulations sure. are and their
would be, yes.
And they would have a right to come out and check those.
Absolutely.
Is the perimeter of that property bermed up, especially the rear of it? Or is it flat?
When you say the rear, do you mean to the northwest? South?
I don't know what direction that would southwest. Be anyway. Towards the Wharton's Branch.
Towards the Wharton's Branch. The property actually, as you can imagine, falls away towards the Wharton's Branch, and in there is where the stormwater basin exists.
Okay.
And it falls away. There's really no berming other than the development of the stormwater pond, which is lower than the actual yard, obviously.
Right. So you're catching any runoff
yeah.
through that.
What you have there is the mature vegetation that really provides even a better screen than a berm, because obviously it's taller, and you really, as stated earlier, can't see the adjacent developments to the northwest.
Yeah, I wasn't really concerned about the visual, just thinking, you know, more runoff. But if you're saying it's getting caught by the stormwater.
Yeah, so you have a stormwater channel or ditch that runs along the southwest property boundary and it connects into that basin and to the north-northwest where the rail beds are. In between the rails, there's a series of inlets and storm sewer that collects runoff and directs it. So the property is contained by those channels and storm sewers, and then obviously contained to the northwest by the actual basin.
Does that basin flow anywhere, or does it just sink to the ground below it?
You have collection in it, so you have evapotranspiration just by the collection of the water. There probably is some level of storm water or infiltration, but then it was designed as a traditional detention facility.
It does.
So it does discharge via a discharge pipe to the Wharton's branch.
Does, when you use the spray nozzle to get the dust down, is it anticipated that that goes into the ground, or is it anticipated that that flows to, or both, to the stormwater site?
Yeah, so I'll answer this just because I can. It's probably a question more for Mr. Taylor, but imagine high pressure, low volume. So the idea is to create a mist. So we don't want to saturate our materials. That's not a good thing for our industry. So it's a mist that any dust, that particles that do become airborne, gets caught by that mist and dropped down. So when we're operating our dust suppression system, you don't see water running away from the operation. You might see the ground wet in areas. What you really see is the cones of the piles. You have moisture at the top of them. Because again, we do not want to saturate the material. You want to create enough of a mist to capture those dust particles that become airborne and drop them out.
Is that continuous, or is that sort of sporadic as far as if the material gets really, really dusty?
It's pretty much continuous. If there's the strange situation that we had a weather event, 4 inches of rain, and the material is
already saturated.
Yeah. We won't. I will note it is a condition in our air quality permit that only in those unusual circumstances do we not have to use it. However, it does have to be operable at all times. And if they come in, regardless of what's happening, we need to be able to turn it on and show that it's capable of operation. Right.
I presume there's no additional traffic that you're expecting from this as compared to your existing use?
Yeah, thank you. I did want to touch on that, and obviously I didn't. No, there's no additional traffic associated with this other than, you know, like I explained, the material comes in, or they come in to drop any concrete or even wrap that's already occurring, or the asphalt millings or chunk asphalt, the particle crusher itself, there's no traffic associated with that other than when it's delivered.
How about lighting? I know you said you're not going to have it any nighttime hours, but do you have any, you know, extra lighting that this is going to require?
No. Not for the operation of the portable plant. Right. There's lighting at the facility, security lighting associated with the stone yard, but specific to the portable crushers now.
Yeah, I think that's what we're just talking about, is this specific, you know, use.
60 to 70 decibels. Can you give me some comparison? Like, what else would I recognize at 60 to 70 decibels? I don't know how loud that is.
Yeah, sounds, noise and sound is very difficult because everybody perceives it differently. This conversation right now, if I had a noise meter right here, because I'd have it right here, a normal conversation can be 60 to 70 decibels. When you get away from that equipment, if I stood at the equipment right next to it, obviously the noise levels will be much higher in the 80 to 90 range. But as you get away, obviously sound decays with distance. So at 100 foot, that's when you start getting into that normal conversation range. At 100 foot, we could stand there and have a normal conversation and the equipment would be operating.
That's how far you're proposing to put it away from the property line, at least 100 foot?
At least 100 foot. And as you can see on the plan, it's much more. I used 100 foot because I had a data set from monitoring of certain or other uses or very similar equipment. That's what, so I used that. It's because I had a specific benchmark, should I say.
Yeah, so if we're on a neighboring property, we're not going to have any problem talking to each other or anything like that?
Should not.
Okay.
And remember, on the existing site, there's mobile equipment, there's loaders, there's conveyors, there's a rail unloading, there's railroad. There's other existing similar uses occurring on the property.
The communication that we received from the agencies, and help me understand, but we received a response back from Division of Public Health and the Fire Marshal. Did we receive any documentation from DENRAC?
I don't think we did on that one.
Yeah, I believe the DENRAC comment was on the next one.
But DENRAC was contacted regarding this proposal.
Yes, that's correct. And
so if there was a concern from regarding stormwater management,
you should have heard from them.
Yes, and Mr. Whitehouse had some correspondence with DENRAC Division of Air Quality regarding the crusher, and it rendered the county's position was the use of the land for concrete crushing is permitted, but following the special use exception, and then would have no issue for DENRAC to permit the use once the decision.
Okay, so when the decision is made here, it then goes to?
They have to go to DENRAC and get the air quality, right?
And all that,
that's correct.
And all that entails.
Right. Right.
I would assume that depending upon what direction we could go, we could, because the stormwater management is also part of our, it's not part of our responsibility, but water pollution is, correct?
Well, we just have to make sure that there are controls in place.
Okay.
We're not a, and the, right. And the courts have said this, we're not an agency that deals with that as far as regulating those. This came about in 1970.
Yeah.
So think about the regulations and agencies that existed around that time. So
I think our responsibility is probably taken care of by our notifying DENRAC. These gentlemen have to go through that process also from an air and I would assume water standpoint also. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board? Does that conclude your presentation?
It does.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Operator, is anyone on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12729 H&K Group Incorporated?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you. Further questions? At this time, we will close the public hearing for case 12729, H&K Group Incorporated, and I will entertain a motion.
What was the duration of this time period? 5 years.
The applicant's requesting 5 years.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve case 12729 for special use exemption for a period of 5 years. The use will not substantially affect or adversely the use of neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
Mr. Hastings,
yes.
Dr. Carson, I know a couple of things that on ones like this, the board does have a right to impose any impose conditions. Are there any conditions that you wish to impose on this, such as hours of operation or requirement that they obtain necessary permits and submit that to the office?
No, I don't. I'm not adding any on to my motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for the reason stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reasons.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 5-0, case 12729 is approved. Next case.
Case number 12730, River 2 LLC seeks a special use exception to operate a potentially hazardous use construction and demolition debris recycling facility by use of a portable crusher, sections 115.110 and 115.111 of the Sussex County Code. Property is located on the northwest side of Sussex Highway, approximately 0.35 miles from Iron Hill Road. The 911 address is 36393 Sussex Highway in Delmar. The zoning district is HI1. The tax parcel is District 532, Map 13, Parcel 80.06. Staff will note we received letters or no objection or comments from the Office of State Fire Marshal, the Delaware Health and Social Services, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Chesapeake Bay Field Office, and DENREC, the Division of Watershed Stewardship.